All right. Brother Leslie told me that he heard me when he was a little boy, and God called him to preach, and now he's a missionary, so I thought this song might be appropriate, a song I wrote about missions, and send me and I'll go. And then 3 months later, the Lord called me to preach, and I thought, I didn't mean that. So,
the fields are white, the laborers few, so much work for you and me to do. It's no time to be lax or be unwise. His coming is at hand. Father, open up our eyes. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go. Jesus glorified God with every breath. He was obedient even unto death. The highest calling of a Christian friend is to lay down our lives and glorify Him. Heavenly Father, send me and I'll go. Your word is the seed that I must sow. People searching for truth in a world so confused, grant me the power to point them to you. Lord of the harvest, send me and I'll go.
Praise the Lord. Boy, it is good to be in the house of God. Amen. This morning. And what a privilege and a treat to have Brother LeBeau here. And he has meant a lot in my life. He probably didn't even know who I am, but I used to go to a little church down in Mansfield, and Brother LeBeau would come every year and preach a revival. I'd just gotten saved. I was one of those old sinners, and I was about 20 years old, somewhere around there, going to a little church there in Mansfield. And he had come and got to go to the jails with him there with Brother Henson there in Mansfield. And boy, it just meant that music, you know, listening to the kind of music I listen to, that was a change for me. And but boy, I am so glad of his ministry and the impact he had on my life as a young preacher. And but it is a joy to be here this morning. And we are going to Croatia on Tuesday. It is home. We are excited about it. Don't feel sorry for us. That's where we want to be. We've been looking for this day for some time now. And if you have your Bibles, turn to John 21. We'll get there in just a moment. John chapter 21. But I do want to thank the church for your love for our family, your faithfulness, and getting to know many of you. You know, when you go to the field and you're there, you know, like we are, and you come back, there's a lot of new faces and you don't know people. So it's been a privilege to get to go soul winning with some of you and get to know you and find out so many of God's people here in this church that are praying for us. And, you know, that means something, folks. I believe God answers prayer, and it really means something when we know that our home church is praying for us and you're concerned. And it's not always easy in Croatia, but it is always good to be in Croatia. It's in the will of God. Now, you please pray for Sam Ward. He's made the newspapers again. If any of you follow him at all, I don't know. I'm afraid he's going to be in jail before I get back, so I'm trying to hurry up and get over there. But he's out there on a street corner holding a sign up, and the news reporter the other day come by and thought he was some political party and it was some trick. He had a sign he was holding up that said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so they stopped and interviewed him and found out he wasn't from a political party. He was from an independent Baptist church in the city, and put a real positive article in the paper. I read it yesterday morning, and I had a picture of him and his sign, and you could read the sign in the newspaper. And boy, he's, you know, stirring some things up. And the news guy, you know, he didn't know what that guy was all about, but he told the people there in the article that he was there standing up for Jesus. He was from Texas, and so got a little plug in there for Texas anyway, you know. So I'm looking forward to getting back over there. But you pray for our ministry, please. God's been good to us this furlough. It's been a few mixed emotions. You know, many of you know our oldest son is going to college here, and this will be the first time for us to go back without one of our children. And so it's a little mixed emotions, but we know he's in the will of God. That's what we've always taught our kids, to be in the will of God. Whatever that is, you be in the will of God. They know we sincerely mean that. Now for Cody, the will of God is God's called him to go to Croatia, so I'm excited about that. Already knows the language and the culture, already knows how to go soul winning over there and so forth. And so I'm excited to have him back. Our youngest son, Joshua, is praying about going to Bosnia. That's next door to Croatia, 45% Muslim. Pray for him, if God would show him what he wants to do. I thank God for children that are looking forward to doing what God wants them to do. I really do. That just excites me. If they don't do it, I'll probably pull their head off or something. But anyway, so John chapter 21. If you'd please stand with me as we read the Word of God together. I know we're pressed for time. I understand that. So I'm going to probably speak very quickly. I hope you'll understand anything I say this morning. Hopefully we'll get it out. John chapter 21 in verse number 12. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And I want to draw your attention, please, to verse number 15. Where the Bible says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I want to preach a message to you this morning entitled, lovest thou me more than these? Our Father, we love you and we need you this morning. I pray, dear God, that you would please fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to say only what you want me to say this morning. Help me, Father, to be a vessel that could be used of God. And Father, I need that fresh oil. I need that anointing. God, we need to hear from God this morning. And I'm asking you, Father, to please help your people to put the distractions of the day away from them for just a few moments and listen to the Word of God. Please, dear God, speak to our hearts. If there's some among us that have never been born into the family of God, please, dear God, bring that Holy Spirit of God conviction upon them. And I pray that folks will get saved today. And Lord, I love you. And I pray that you'd bless this service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? That's a long walk to that water. Need much more of that water. You get a lot of exercise back and forth here, huh? Let me just quickly say, and I want to get into this real quick now. Jesus had already been crucified and risen again. You that know your Bible know that He's already been on the cross. He's already been laid in the tomb. He's been there 3 days, 3 nights. He's already risen. He's already showed Himself to His disciples twice. This is now the third time the Bible says that He showed Himself to His disciples after His resurrection. And in this text, Peter, if we read a few verses before this, we'd have found out that Peter led the brethren back into the fishing business. Now, you that know your Bible know that many of the disciples, they were fishermen. Peter and James and John, they were all fishermen. And after Jesus had been risen from the dead and so forth, they should have been out doing what God wanted them to do. But Peter, if you read a few verses before this, said, "I go a-fishing." And the other disciples said, "We'll go with you." And so they got in their boats and they got the nets out there and they were fishing, having a good old time and doing what people that fish do. Now, I've never been much of a fisherman, so I'm not going to talk about fishing this morning. But, you know, but they knew about fishing and they were out there having a good time doing it. And as they were in that boat, they looked out and the Lord was there on the shore, and He said, "Children, have you any meat?" And of course they said, "No, we hadn't caught anything." And He said, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." And they did it, and the nets break, and boy, they said, "Boy, it's the Lord." And they knew it was Jesus, and so they swam back to shore because Jesus was on the seashore there, and Jesus reveals Himself to them. And now this leads me to the text. As He's there, He's got a fire going. He's got some fish cooking. And I like that verse where He says, "Come and dine." Wouldn't you like to have been there, my friend, when Jesus said, "Come and dine"? One day we will be there when He says, "Come and dine." I'm looking forward to that day. As a matter of fact, I'm living for that day. That day when Jesus says, "Come and dine." I'm waiting for it, folks. But I'd like to have been there in that boat that day when He said, "Come and dine." He had the fish there, and they get over there around the fire with the Lord Jesus, and boy, just having a good time. Wouldn't you like to have been there as they're talking and fellowshipping with the Savior? By the way, you can do that today. You can. And so they're there around that fire, and as he's got the fish, and they eat and everything, and Peter is there, and the disciples were there, and for some reason, Jesus singles Peter out of all the disciples. And He looks at him, and He says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Now folks, the Bible doesn't say what the "these" are. Do you notice that? It just says, "Do you love me more than these?" I don't know what the "these" are. I like to use my imagination when I read the Bible. Maybe Jesus looked over at that fishing boat. Maybe He looked over at those nets. And maybe He looked over at that fishing business that Peter had led the brethren back into. And maybe Jesus looked over at that fishing boat and said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than that business you've got going? Do you love me more than the boats you got going? Do you love me more than the fishing you've got going? Hey, Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these?" Maybe He did, I don't know. Maybe He looked over and saw those fishing buddies of Simon Peter, James and John, and all the other buddies. You know, when you go fishing, you like to do it with buddies, don't you? You know, when I do it, I like to go by myself because I don't catch anything. And when I go, I'm just doing it to get alone with God, you know. But I know that people that like to fish, they like to go with people. They like to have fishing buddies. And maybe, Peter had those buddies around him, and maybe the Lord looked over at those buddies and those friends, and He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than your companions? Do you love me more than those buddies that are keeping you out of the will of God? Do you love me more than thee?" Maybe He looked over at those family members. You know, Peter had a wife, had a mother-in-law, had a father. Maybe He looked over at them and He said, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than your family?" Boy, that'd get a lot of us right there, won't it? Because you know, one of the things that'll keep young people from doing the will of God sometimes is mom and dad. Sometimes it's some family member. Sometimes it's some relative. Hey, I remember when I was called to Croatia, I had a lot of relatives that wasn't for that at all. But I want you to know, my friend, we have to answer the question this morning. Do we love Jesus more than these? Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your job, whether it's your hobby, whether it's hunting, whether it's fishing, whether it's shopping, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys or whatever it is in your life. Do you love Him more than these? I think the Lord's asking us the question this morning, my friend. Do we love Him more than these? This one thought, if we would get a hold of it, would change our Christianity. It would keep you from doing the things you ought not do, and it would help you to do the things you ought to do. When you do it, because you love Him. So He asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these?" Now, folks, I don't know what the these were for Peter, and I don't know what the these are for you, but I do know this. The Lord wanted him to love him more than anything else in his life. And I know that what God is asking us this morning, Trinity Baptist Church, and he goes through member by member by member, he's asking you personally, do you love me? And then he's showing you what that these is. You know what the these are. Peter knew what he was talking about. He didn't have to define it in the Bible. Peter knew what the these were. I think you and I know what the these are. And he's asking us this morning, do you love me more than these? Now, if we're ever going to do anything for God, we're going to have to put Jesus in that first place position in our life. I'm telling you folks, it's the thing that will change our Christianity. It's the thing that will change your life. It will change your family when we put God in that first place position in our families and in our lives. It's elementary Christianity, but my friend, it's needed today. We've got so many things in front of God. I mean, we've got our list and we think we've got Him in the first place, but in truth, a lot of times we don't. We got something else in front of God. And can I tell you right now, we need to have God in our first place. I love my family. I love my children. It's hard this week. I know I'm going to have to leave and my son's going to stay behind. And as a father, my heart hurts just like your heart hurts. But I want you to know, and my son knows, I love him more than these. And I'm going to go back to Croatia and do the will of God because it is the will of God for me. And I want to love Jesus more than these. For our message, just real quick, I want to give you a few reasons why we ought to love Jesus more than these. Number one, can I say we should love Jesus more than these? Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. Take your Bibles over to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Would you turn there with me? 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now look, if you would, in verse number 19. We love Him because He first loved us. Can I tell you, my friend, I was a rebel, and I'm not going to go into my testimony this morning. I've done it before. But I was a rebel and wicked, and one day I met someone named Jesus, and can I tell you, He first loved me. He first came to me, and He changed me. He saved me, put my feet upon a rock, put a new song in my heart, a new purpose in my life. And my friend, He loved me first, so why shouldn't I love Him more than these? You know, my friend, every one of you deserve to die and go to the lake of fire. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. And in Revelation it says, in death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That is what you and I deserve because of our sin this morning. But yet the Bible says, but God, I like that, but God commendeth His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In that while we were on our way to the lake of fire, Christ died for us. If you're here this morning, you've been born again. Your name's been written by the blood of Christ in the Lamb's book of life. You ought to love Him more than anything else in your life. He ought to be the most important thing in your life this morning. And if your name hasn't been written in that Lamb's book of life, can I tell you it can be? God loves you and cares about you. He doesn't want you to go to the lake of fire, but you mark it down. I don't care what the philosopher says. I don't care what the new preacher on TV says. The Bible says God will judge sin. And if you do not get saved, you will die and go to the lake of fire. We had no hope without Jesus. He came and paid the debt that we could never pay. He brought us back to God. He was our Redeemer. So as He looked at Peter that day and He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these? And we have to ask the question, why would Simon want to love Jesus more than anything else? I think it would be because Jesus loved him first. I think it would be because Jesus saved him. I think it would be because Jesus redeemed him. As we heard in Sunday school this morning in 1 Peter over there, when he talked about that precious blood, I think he got a hold of what it was all about. I think he realized there was a Savior named Jesus and Peter deserved to die and go to the lake of fire. But the precious Lamb of God came down and paid for the sins of Peter and paid for the sins of you and me as well. And because of that, we ought to love Him more than these. We ought to love Him more than these, my friend. Why wouldn't we? So Peter, why should you love Him more than these? I want to tell you because no one's ever loved Peter like Jesus loved him. He loved him first. Number two, we should love Jesus more than these because He cares about our every need. He cares about our every need. Can you take your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 6, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Why should I love Him more than these? Well, number one, because He loved me first. I mean, I know where I deserve to go, friend. So I'm going to love Him more than these, just simply, but if there was no other reason, that'd be enough. He loved me first. But can I tell you, there's some other reasons. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus. I mean to tell you, these last 11 years in Croatia, we've went through some things. I remember when my wife caught her house on fire. She's out there, so I'm going to say that. So just let everybody know she caught her house on fire. But anyway, we had this big house fire, kitchen fire, and boy, I tell you, we just got this house. It was out in the country, and the kitchen was, I mean, the whole thing was engulfed. We was in another room. The door was shut. Didn't even know it was on fire. And then all of a sudden, we saw these smoke. We heard something go boom. And what it was some kind of glass jar that just exploded. We went, opened the door, and I mean, there's smoke coming out everywhere. That thing was on fire, and we were getting ready to take our first furlough. Everything was packed up. The water hose was packed up. I mean, we had nothing out. And by the way, I learned real quick, 911 doesn't work in Croatia. It's a bad time to figure that one out. And so we're out in the country. Our closest neighbor is almost a quarter of a mile down the road. And he's a guy that we got the house from him. And so here, I mean, there was smoke coming out of the whole thing was engulfed in flames. And I'm thinking, we're about to lose everything. And I run down the street and I'm hollering. I've got the cell phone, it's one of those cordless phones. And I'm running down the street, taking it to my neighbor, asking him what the number for 911 is in Croatia. And so I get there, he's out there feeding his pigs. And I just scream at him, "Ivan, my house is on fire, my house is on fire." And I give him that phone and he just immediately starts dialing. Well, it doesn't work. It's a cordless phone and I'm already a quarter of a mile away from my house. You know, that thing doesn't work. So he starts running towards my house with that phone and finally he gets in range that, you know, it'll dial and he gets the fire department on the phone and then he runs into my house and starts yelling at him, telling me what to do. He knew what to do and I had to get the water hose, hook it all up, all that. And here's this Croatian Catholic man runs into my house, smoke everywhere, fire everywhere with a water hose. Save my house, put that fire out. We won't even show up for soul winning. Ouch. He cared enough for my house. Risk his life because it was on fire. How much do we risk? That wasn't part of my message, that was for free. Anyway, couple of days later, here we are. We're devastated. I mean, your emotion. Have you ever hit bankrupt in your emotions? That's what I felt like. I was like, you know, here I am. I can barely speak to anybody at this time, and my house, you know, everything's laying out in the yard, and the smoke damage everywhere, and I get a knock on the door, and these two Croatian men are there. They're older men, probably in their 60s. They open the door, and I open the door, and I see them there, and they said, "We're sorry, we heard your house caught on fire," and they handed me this envelope. And then they left. And went inside, I looked in that envelope. There was about $800-$900 in that envelope. The folks for a Croatian, they make about $500 a month on the average. They had collected some money to help their neighbor who had a house fire. Now, the money wasn't that important. But can I tell you what? God was saying, "No one's ever cared for you, Johnny, like I care for you. I'll take care of your needs. I've got you." Can I tell you, my friend, why should I love Him more than these? Because no one's ever cared for me like God's cared for me. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus has cared for me. I mean, when the birds hit the ground, He knows about it. He knows how many hairs are on my head and how many I've lost. He knows all about it. So why should Peter love Him more than these? Because no one's ever loved Peter. No one's ever cared for Peter like Jesus cared for Peter. And by the way, no one's ever cared for you like God's cared for you. And then lastly, can I tell you, we should love Jesus more than these because He's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for us. Take your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Verse 1. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Can I tell you, my friend, we ought to love Jesus more than these, because He loved us first. No one's ever cared for us like Jesus has cared for us. And lastly, because He's went and prepared a place for us. And He said, "I'm coming again." Can I tell you, my friend, we've heard it already this morning. You hear it often at this church. This world is not our home. Can I say it again? This world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. Moms and dads, you ought to encourage your kids to do the will of God, even if that's to go to the jungles of Africa, because this world is not our home. Hey, if that's not true, then tell them to be doctors and lawyers and whatever else. And there's nothing wrong with being a doctor and a lawyer if that's God's will for them. But can I tell you, you ought to encourage them, if it is to go to the jungles of Africa, to go to the jungles of Africa. If it is to go to Pakistan, to go to Pakistan. If it is to go to Afghanistan, to go to Afghanistan. And represent God there and be His ambassador and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, God loves Muslims. Y'all know that, don't you? Y'all knew God's still in the saving business. Even Muslims are included in that, right? We knew that. He's preparing a place for us. We ought to live our lives to please Him, to love Him more than anything else, because He is preparing a place for us. I want to end with a story. My wife and I took a 20th anniversary trip this year. It was our 20th anniversary this summer, and we took a little road trip and went up through Arkansas and into Branson. And while we were there, there was a museum there. It was called the Titanic Museum. Now, I'm not much on museums, but this thing, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been there, but it looks like the ship, the Titanic. Half the building, it's what it looks like, it's a ship, and it was just impressive. So I told her, I said, "Well, let's go check that thing out and look at it." And so we went in there, and everybody's dressed like they were on the Titanic. At least that's what they told me. I wasn't there back then, but, you know, I'm going to take the word for it. And But anyway, you go in the museum, and I mean, it's pretty awesome, and all the little artifacts and all that. We walk through this this little way, and I come around this corner. It's kind of, you know, going through little hallway type things, like you're on the ship, and you come into this room, and it's got this wall, and on the wall it says "Ministers Aboard the Titanic," and it had the underneath that it had all these little name plates under there, and it said all the preachers, ministers they called them, that were aboard that ship. Now this is Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, so forth. And it had their little a nameplate, had their name, and then if there was anything special about them. Now, I'm a Baptist, so I was looking to see if there's any Baptist preachers on that boat. And by the way, I'm not, still not ashamed to say I'm a Baptist. We might be living in a day where people are saying, "I'm still a Baptist, and when I go to Croatia, you can put it on the internet, I'm starting independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches." I'm not ashamed of that. We have a godly heritage, and it's time we get back to that godly heritage. And I'm going to tell you about one of them right now. I was skimming through that name plates, and this name, John Harper, just jumped off at me, and it said "Minister Aboard the Titanic." It said, "John Harper, Baptist minister." And underneath his name, it said his last words were, "Trust Christ." Trust Christ. Now, boy, that got me excited. I'm thinking, this is a secular museum, and they've got this Baptist preacher, and his name is there. And underneath it, it says his last words on that ship were, "Trust Christ." I got excited about that. I was going to have a fit right there in that museum. I didn't see that under the other people's names, by the way. And anyway, I went home. I got so excited. I wanted to find out about John Harper. I'd never heard about him before. And so I began to research this man, John Harper, and I was excited at what I found. I was wondering why I've never heard this name, John Harper, before. I mean, we ought to be telling this story everywhere. Let me just quickly tell you the story, what I found out. John Harper was a young man in Scotland, grew up in a Christian home. He preached his first sermon on a street corner in Glasgow, Scotland. That's where he preached. Never tasted drink, never tasted any wickedness, grew up in that Christian home, loved God, and he got on the street corner and preached his first sermon. And by the way, Bible college students, you want to preach, find you a street corner somewhere and preach. Find you a nursing home and preach. what Brother Smith told me to do, and I'm glad he did. Anyway, that's where he preached his first sermon, and a guy from England, a Baptist pastor from England, saw him one day, and they wanted to start a church, so they wound up starting a church there in Glasgow, Scotland, and guess who their first pastor was? That young man preached on the street corner. And before you knew it, the church was running about 500 people and just growing. And this John Harper was a soul winner, loved to win people to Christ. And the place in Chicago, the Moody place, called him and wanted him to go and preach a revival up there in Chicago. This was back in the early 1900s. And when he did, he went. And boy, I mean to tell you, there were literally thousands saved. I mean, the power of God was on the man. Everywhere he went, he was a soul winner. And people were saved and so forth. And so he goes back. He's in England now. And they call him and they want him to come back and preach another revival because God blessed so much in that first one. And so his wife had died. He had a little girl named Nana that traveled with him, and his little girl, and a nurse, the sister-in-law, that took care of the little girl. And so they three got aboard the Titanic and headed for America to make their way to Chicago to preach that revival. And you know the story, the ship hit the iceberg and broke apart and all those people drowned. Well, John Harper, the word went out, the ship had hit the iceberg and it's going down, and they said that he went in and picked his little girl up, and he said they were told us to put life jackets on, so they did that, and he brought the little girl and the nurse, the sister-in-law, to a lifeboat. And he put the little girl in the arms of the nurse. And they said tears were rolling down his face. And he said, I'll see you again someday. And kissed the little girl goodbye. Now they say that he could have got in the boat with her because the little girl would have been an orphan. No one would have thought ill of him for doing that. But he chose to stay behind, put the little girl in the lifeboat, and then witnesses said they could see John Harper running up and down the deck of the ship, and he was screaming out, women, children, unsaved, into the lifeboats. Women, children, unsaved, into the lifeboats. That got me excited. He's trying to get folks round up there, and finally, what happened, the ship began to break apart. That night there were 1,528 people that had to jump over off that boat into the icy waters that were not in a life a boat. And John Harper was one of them that had to do that. And the witnesses said that he was swimming as he was in the water. He had a life jacket on. He was swimming from person to person. And he was leading people to Christ in the icy waters around the Titanic. People were getting saved there. Hey, Hollywood's not going to tell you that, folks. By the way, you ought not watch it anyway. Swimming, leading people to Christ in those icy waters. He swam over to this young man, and this young man had a broken piece of the ship that he had caught onto, did not have a life jacket on. And John Harper began to witness to this young man and said, son, would you trust Christ and get saved? And the young man said, no, I don't want to get saved. He was very angry. John Harper was kind of bewildered. In between breaths, the hyperthermia was beginning to set in. And he looked at the young man, and he took his life jacket off. And he gave it to the young man and said, son, you need this more than I need it. And he swam off and began to lead another person to Christ. And someone else got saved, and then he swam back over to the young man. And in between breaths, it was getting very difficult to breathe. He said, son, would you get saved? And the young man said, yes, I think I'll get saved. And the young man put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In those icy waters, he swam off, and the hyperthermia just took its hold. He couldn't stay up any longer. And he began, as he's witnessing, he began to go down. And as he went down, he said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died right there in those waters. Now, how do we know any of it's true? That night, there were six people rescued out of the water that were not in lifeboats. That young man was one of them. And 4 years later, at a Titanic reunion, that young man got up in front of a bunch of survivors and told his story of a Baptist preacher that was swimming from person to person and leading people to Christ, and how he swam over, told the story, I came to him, he rejected, came back, led him to Christ. And with tears rolling down his face, he told about a Baptist preacher that gave all so that others could be saved. Can I tell you, my friend? I think when John Harper that night closed his eyes to this world and gave up the ghost, he came into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think he was met with, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I don't know if the Lord knew this or not, but maybe he looked at him and said, "John, you love me more than these." My friend, we need a revival in America. We need God's people to love him more than these today. What happened to those kind of preachers? What happened to that kind of Christianity? What happened to Christians that would love him more than these? We've got so many gadgets and so much stuff, and you know we're doing less for God than what they did with less. And I think the bottom line, friend, is they showed up when they needed to show up. They were there. The night before, the nurse, I read an article 1 week later after this event took place from the, it was written by the nurse that took care of the little girl. And she was telling about the last days of John Harper, and she said about the night before the event took place, she said, "John looked so cheerful. I walked around the corner and had somebody cornered on the side of the ship and he was leading him to the Lord." See, it didn't start with John Harper in those icy waters. He was already winning people to Christ. He had already chosen to love him more than these. He didn't wait till the event took place to love him more than these. He was already demonstrating he loved him more than these. And can I tell you, my friend, as we close, you and I as God's people, I think the Lord's asking us this morning, Trinity Baptist Church, do you love me more than these? Now, I don't know what the these are for you in your life. I know what they are for me in my life. But you're going to have to answer that question this morning. He's asking you, whether you want to listen or not, He's asking you this morning, do you love me more than these? And by the way, my Bible says He's a jealous God. He doesn't want you to have something else in His place. He wants first place. He demands first place. But He's asking you, do you love me more than these? Could we stand to our feet, please? Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist would come. I just wonder tonight, this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here this morning, you'd say, "Brother Leslie, I know I'm a child of God. I know if I died right now, I know heaven's my home. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad for it, and I know it without a doubt." Would you just slip up your hand in testimony of that? I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Amen. You can put your hands back down. Well, maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, "Brother Leslie, I'm here and God spoke to me in the message. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm born again. I don't know if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I sure would like it to be. Would you pray for me?" Now, friend, I'm not going to call you out nor come to you nor embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. And if you're here this morning, you'd say, "Brother Leslie, I'm here and I don't know if I'm saved. Please pray for me." Would you just slip up your hand while no one's looking? Just slip it up till I see it. Please, if you're here this morning, you don't know if you're saved, would you slip it up? Slip it up till I see it. Anybody like that at all this morning? Well, maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, "Brother Leslie, I'm a Christian. And God spoke to me somewhere this morning. There's something in my life, there's something. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's not sin. But it's something that I need to get behind God. I need to let Him have first place in my life. And God spoke to me about it this morning." Friend, I want to pray for you. Would you slip up your hand and say, "God spoke to me this morning. Thank you. God bless you and you and you and you." You just put your hands up, put them right back down. Anybody else say, "God spoke to me this morning"? God spoke to me. God bless you and you and you and you. Our Father, we love you. And I pray this morning, dear God, that you would have your way in our hearts, in our lives. God, please bless this invitation. Lord, please help your people to respond. It does no good for them to say they want to love you more than these. They've got to show it now. Let them come bow their hearts before you and deal with it, Lord. Maybe there's someone here that's unsaved that didn't have enough courage to raise their hand, God. Help them to know they're among friends. Let them come and get saved this morning, God, I pray. And I beg this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin to sing, you come this morning. Join these. Some have already come. Won't you come this morning? As we sing a verse of invitation, won't you come? You want to love Him more than these? Won't you come?
Take up, just
take your stand for God. Won't you do it this morning? Dear Christian, won't you do it? You played so long. Won't you do it this morning? Won't you come take your stand for God and say, "I'm going to do my best. I'm going to love Him more than these." Would you do it? Join these that have already said, "I love Him more than these." Would you do it? Would you do it this morning? Would you come? Would you come? Take your stand this morning. We don't need puffed up Christians. We need Christians on their knees once again. Won't you do it?
I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads,
won't you do it?
I'll go.